Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need. Whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding, we always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life. Really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad. I'm on a journey to heal and get better in all areas of life, and I want to do it with you. Welcome to Heal Squad by Maria Menounos, where we improve and heal all parts of our lives, most importantly, our health. Heal Squad by Maria Menounos, your life improvement series starts now.
Hello, hello, friends. It's going to be a great day. You know why? Because Dr. Mark Hyman's on, and he's going to teach us how to be healthier. Oh, such a good episode. All right, let's go to our quote of the day. We must learn to treat the person, not the disease, not the system, not just the symptoms. This is personalized medicine, the medicine of the future. That is from, as I said, Dr. Mark Hyman, the author of Young Forever, The Secrets to Living Your Longest, Healthiest Life. Friends, it is an amazing day when you have Dr. Mark Hyman on. He has gone through it himself. He's healed himself of so many different things, and he is going to share with us how we can do the same. I've seen as a patient the challenges that we face in the medical system as it is in its current state, and and the things that the, you know, the normal person who's just being diagnosed with their first thing doesn't understand. And the specialties are so frustrating. You know, it's like, I actually recently drew a diagram in one of their offices. I go, here's the list of stuff. How do we get to the root of what's happening here? Because clearly there's something autoimmune and clearly there's something hormonal. And they look at me like,
like you're from another planet. Yeah.
And then they just move on quickly because that's not what they're trained to do. So you have an eloquent way, Mark, of explaining the medical system's flaws because it's how they're trained. It's not that the doctors have bad intentions. And so I'd love to start there because I feel like one of my missions in this world is to share this with people.
Yeah, I think most people go to the doctor and the doctor is practicing a type of medicine that's really outdated. It's based on old ideas about how the body's organized, which is based on specialties and organs and parts of your body. The body's one whole integrated system. And unless you understand how to optimize that system, you can't create health. And most of medicine is focused on treating disease as opposed to understanding health and how to turn on all the innate healing systems we have in our body, which are really remarkable and can actually activate processes that reverse our biological age and reverse so many chronic diseases if we know how to activate them.
And so since they don't know that, what happens to the average person is you go to the doctor and they stick to their specialty. Your primary will send you to specialists. And, you know, there's even like examples of patients that came to you. I probably won't be able to find it that fast because I've marked so many pages in here.
But I can share it.
Yeah, there's the woman who came in and she has on all different pills from all the different specialists.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's quite amazing. Here's a great case of a patient we had at Cleveland Clinic, you know, who was seeing the best doctors for a whole host of complicated problems. She's about a 50-year-old woman, an executive business coach, you know, very smart and struggling. She was struggling with psoriatic arthritis, which is a horrible skin condition that also affects your joints. So it's like rheumatoid arthritis. And she was on a drug that cost $50,000 a year and suppressed her immune system. She had terrible reflux, heartburn, irritable bowel, bloating. She had depression. She had pre-diabetes. She was overweight. She had migraines, couldn't sleep well. And she was seeing all these doctors. She saw a psychiatrist for depression, a gastroenterologist for her gut and reflux and irritable bowel. She saw a rheumatologist for psoriatic arthritis, and she was getting all the best treatments, but she was being managed. They were just managing her symptoms. They weren't dealing with the root cause. And from a functional medicine perspective, which is all about root cause medicine, it was very clear to me that she had a whole host of problems that were all inflammatory. Her gut was inflamed. Obviously, her skin, her joints are inflamed. Depression is inflammation in the brain. Pre-diabetes is inflammation of your metabolism. And so I said, well, what's causing the inflammation? Well, it turned out it was her gut. She had really bad overgrowth of bacteria, overgrowth of yeast. She had leaky gut. She had food sensitivity. So we basically cleaned up her diet, put her on the diet, basically that I talk about in Young Forever, which is a whole foods, plant-rich diet with lots of, phytochemicals, but we also removed the sugar and the starch, got rid of the inflammatory foods, gluten, dairy, and many other things. And within 6 weeks, she came back, and I thought, oh, you know, and I gave her maybe a multivitamin, vitamin D, probiotics, fish oil, very simple by supplement regimen. She came back 6 weeks later after treating her gut and cleaning up her diet and giving her a few supplements, completely off every medication, which I did not tell her to do. I told her to stay on it. She had no more psoriatic arthritis, no more heartburn, no more reflux, no more irritable bowel, no more depression, no more insomnia. And she lost 20 pounds and reversed her prediabetes. By treating the system, we were able to do that. By treating symptoms and by treating the diseases, conventional medicine just can't get there from here.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you obviously wrote this book, Young Forever, and you're sharing all of the secrets to living your longest and healthiest life. But how do we, and do you have plans to try and fix the system? Because it's really scary. People are getting sicker and they're dying unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. You talk about it in the book too.
Yeah, absolutely. In addition to my work as a physician and practicing doctor and author, I actually started a nonprofit to educate lawmakers and change policy. And we're actually going to be having hearings from the Health Subcommittee and the Ways and Means Committee to discuss this problem of chronic disease and nutrition. Our nonprofit helped establish a new entity within the government to coordinate all nutrition policies, which were not coordinated ever, and how they impact chronic disease in the economy. So that's a huge step forward to pass the Senate and the House. So we're moving forward. We got $2 million for a food as medicine pilot program. We're working on a $500 million medically tailored meals bill. So we're going to be able to move the ball down the field by using food as medicine and transforming people's biology by what they eat, which is the most important thing that they do every day to control their health and well-being.
That's amazing. We need that. I remember I was an ambassador for the diabetes program for Entertainment Industry Foundation. And when we went to Capitol Hill and we were talking to all the lawmakers, we were like, all of the diseases are affected in similar ways, and they're separating all the money. And if you actually combine the money, you could do so much more. One of my favorite quotes on this show was from you. And it was one of our last interviews where you said, when you go through the supermarket, pretend like you're at the pharmacy.
And exactly.
That stuck with me. And
with
so
an F,
now,
F-A-R-M-A-C-Y.
Yeah. And I just, it stuck with me. And I've since quit sugar and quit gluten and quit all of these things. And I'm having a lot of great results because of it. It really is. But, you know, when you start the book, you're talking about so many horrendous statistics of chronic diseases and how many people are suffering from one and two. Can you give us some of those?
When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it. All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use, where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're gonna love them. I remember my mom always struggling with her hair. It's frizzy, Maria, my mom would say in her Greek accent. Diehis, what do you have? I tried so hard to find her products. I wish I could share these products I'm using now with her because I know she would be so happy to finally have good hair days. I've always believed that hair is a woman's best accessory. And with Way's new anti-frizz cream, you can ensure that your hair always looks its best without the frizz stealing the spotlight. It's a lightweight cream that not only provides immediate frizz control, but also helps prevent heat damage. And get this, it lasts up to 72 hours. That's 3 whole days of frizz-free, gorgeous hair. Way seriously has some of my favorite products for taming the frizz. Pro tip, one of my biggest discoveries is using the Way hair oil on the ends of my hair before I dry it. Let me tell you, it's a game changer. Once it's dry, my hair looks so smooth and polished, I don't even need to do anything else. It is incredible. I love it. Frizz-free, up your schedule with Way. Go to the Way, theouai.com, and enter the promo code HEALSQUAD for 15% off any product. That's the Way, theouai.com, promo code HEALSQUAD. Trust me, you won't regret it. As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show, or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Minus the sweet chili.
I mean, listen, you know, Maru, what we see, and the reason I wrote Young Forever was to help people understand that what we see around us is abnormal aging. We see people have decline, decrepitude, disability, loss of function, and all these diseases like heart disease, diabetes, cancer, dementia, which are the common things that kill people, kidney disease, high blood pressure, which are all metabolic diseases. They're all diseases of the same fundamental mechanisms in the body, which we are treating all separately. And so we see, you know, people over 65, probably over 80% of them have one or more chronic illnesses. And what we've done in medicine is treat them all individually. That's what the NIH has studied, all these, you know, we're spending $6 billion on cancer research and billions on heart disease research and billions on diabetes research, instead of treating a root cause, which are what we call the hallmarks of aging. So in the book, I really described how what we think of as normal aging is really abnormal aging. It's really a disease process. And it's based on understanding these fundamental things that go wrong, we call the 10 hallmarks of aging. And the good news is that if you were to correct the problems with those hallmarks, you wouldn't just get a 5 or 7 year life extension, which you would if you cured, for example, heart disease and cancer off the face of the planet. We'd get maybe 5 to 7 years. But by addressing these hallmarks, we might get 30 or 40 years of life extension, which means for an average person living to 120 years old. There's no reason anybody alive today can't get to 100 years old in good health if they understand their body's system and how to work with it rather than against it, how to activate these ancient embedded longevity switches, these pathways and healing systems that repair, regenerate, renew our biology, and that we are doing all the things to screw it up instead of all the things to actually turn on the longevity genes, turn on the the genes that help us to reverse any metabolic damage and to optimize these basic systems in the body, which is sort of the whole purpose of the book, is what do we know scientifically? What does the science of longevity tell us? What are the practical tools that we can use step by step to activate these ancient healing systems and make our bodies literally reverse our biological age? You know, I'm 63. I can't change that. I was born in 1959. That's just going to go on and on. But I can change my biological age. And I'm not 63 biologically. I'm 43, according to
new
kinds of diagnostic tests that we can use, to measure our biological age. Which
those
is
are so cool. I did one as well. And I think I was only like a year younger, so that's not good.
Well, there's this guy that's spending $2 million a year, and he got about a five-year reversal. So I don't know. I spent a lot less than $2 million a year, and I think I'm good. But it's really about understanding the principles of biology. It's like if you want to plant a garden, if you want to, you know, raise a racehorse that's going to win a race, you have to understand how those either plant systems or how those animals function to optimize their health. We don't do that. I mean, you wouldn't think of you know, feeding a $1 million racehorse a Big Mac, fries, and a Coke, right?
Nope.
You would just wouldn't think of it.
No, we're insane.
Yeah.
We're insane. We really are.
It is.
I wonder though, with your biological age, because I did that test, like I said, did you do it and have less, you know, did you have an age reversal after you did all the changes, right? So now you're at a 20-year difference. Yeah. Where were you the first time you did it?
Yeah. So I've just done it once and I did it, you know, doing all the things I've done over years to actually help optimize my health. So I'm trying to get down maybe to 25. So I'm trying a bunch of new stuff. We'll see how it goes. I'll report back, but I'm looking to get at least down to 30 something, you know, for sure. Maybe 20 something.
I love it. When I did it, I was in the middle of kind of a health disaster over the summer. And so my naturopath at the time thought that it was going to be way worse. And so I'm now wondering how much better it will get with all of the things that I'm doing and the changes I'm making.
For sure.
What I also love about this book is the title's a little deceiving because I thought it was like you wanting to live, you know, to 150. And it was just about like specifically aging, even though it is about aging.
Yeah.
It's someone like me who's going through so many health things right now is getting so much from it that I'm like, oh, I can try that. I can try this. I'll add turmeric and I'll add this into my diet. Oh, the green tea I'm having, maybe it's not organic. I should be checking to make sure it's organic. There were so many things in this, but I love the blue zones. We just had Dan on the show. Mm-hmm. We talked about the blue zone diets. Mm-hmm. The goal is, and you said it quickly, is to live healthier longer, you know, because you spoke to me instantly in the book when you were like, most people, when they say, do you want to live, you know, long, you're like, ew, the thought of that sounds awful because we just think of a million doctor appointments, canes, you know, the whole thing and the suffering, but it doesn't have to be like that. My dad's 77 and he's still building houses, still climbing ladders, still a beast, but he's from a blue zone technically.
It's true. I mean,
or the area.
I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at people who are staying connected, engaged and alive in their work. I mean, it's impressive to see how vital you can be well into your 80s, 90s and beyond. I mean, they're, you know, in the blue zones, these guys were, you know, 100 years old and they were just straight upright, walking fit, the shepherds. It was amazing to see. I was like, wow, this is like a different view of a 100-year-old person riding their horse and doing their garden and working hard and, you know, just life and being not put out to pasture, but being an integral part of the community. I think that's a really big factor. And I think what you said is right, Maria. The book is kind of a trick. Yes, it's about understanding how your bodies work to increase your health span and have it equal your lifespan. Meaning most people spend the last 20 years or 20% of their life in poor health. And so you want to make that poor health time short and have, you know, really as long as you live, be healthy and then just kind of die at some point. And the reality is that we can do that by following the guidelines in the book. But what's really, to me, more important is that it's a roadmap to how your body works and how to create health, no matter where you are. And so the things that I describe in the book are designed to create optimal gut function and optimal nutritional status and optimal mitochondrial function, optimal hormone balance, optimal structural system, muscle mass. I mean, every single system in your body, we teach you how to identify where the imbalances are and how to optimize it. So that will do both extend your life and make your life healthier, but it'll also improve any current issues you have now, because it's really about optimizing your health. And when you create health, disease goes away as a side effect. So with that woman I talked about earlier, I didn't treat her diseases. I wasn't treating all the different 6 or 7 different diseases. I simply was helping her body get healthy. I helped her microbiome get healthy. I helped cool off inflammation. I took out inflammatory stuff. I put in anti-inflammatory stuff in her diet. And she was able to have her body do the work. It wasn't like I cured her. Her body's intelligence wants to create health. And we just interfere with that all the time. And in the book, I talk about how we're either dying too much or dying in too little. Like dying of too much of the bad stuff and not enough of the good stuff, too much toxins, allergens, microbes, stress, poor diet, and not enough of the good nutrition and nutrients and light, air, water, you know, the right kind of exercise, sleep, relaxation, connection, community, meaning, purpose. These are all the ingredients for health. So ultimately the body is like any other living system. It requires certain ingredients, and then other things it doesn't agree with. So you have to get rid of those or keep those at a low level. So the body has amazing power to heal. And that's what's so exciting to me that I've seen over and over for almost 40 years of being a doctor.
Yeah. Well, it's inspiring, like I said at the beginning, when you see that you've gone through your own health crises that you've had to address and fix. And there was a list. I mean, I'd love for you to share with everybody, because when we get the lists, sometimes it can be so daunting and depressing. You're like, how can I climb out of this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I joke. I say I'm a holistic doctor because I take care of people with a whole list of problems. And I for sure had a whole list of problems. I mean, I developed chronic fatigue syndrome. My system completely broke down. My gut broke down. I had terrible diarrhea and bloating. I had terrible immune issues. I would get sores all over my tongue, rash all over my body. I had severe brain fog. I couldn't remember anything. I couldn't focus. I had really struggled with mood issues, sleep issues. So many things went wrong. My muscles started being damaged. I could just have severe muscle pain. And it was really, because of a number of things that I uncovered over time. I had mercury poisoning from living in China and other things. I then got, Lyme disease and Babesia and mold toxicity. And I took an antibiotic at one point later on. I just kind of keep getting this stuff that, causes autoimmune disease. And so I basically have to figure stuff out for myself on how to heal.
You said you had autoimmune stuff. What was your autoimmune diseases?
Well, I mean, that was not that long ago, actually, about 5-6 years ago, maybe a little longer. I had an antibiotic for a bad tooth and root canal got pulled out. And that caused a bacterial infection called C. diff, which is a horrible thing that kills 30,000 people a year. Didn't kill me, but almost did. And then I developed the consequence of that. I developed a ulcerative colitis. And was sick for 5 months until I kind of really figured out what I needed to do to reset based on functional medicine and some of the principles that I talk about in Young Forever.
Isn't it harder when you have to help yourself, though?
Well, I mean, at the beginning, when I first started this over 30 years ago, I mean, this was a new frontier. And so I was basically, like Lewis and Clark on an expedition across the country where no one had been before and was trying to sort out how to fix everything. Now I have a much better map and a much better strategy. And the operating system of functional medicine has been so much more developed. And we have really clear pathway on how to optimize our health and deal with chronic things. So once I kind of learn what to do, it's the iterations of getting better a lot faster. Although I'm not planning to get sick anymore. So no, I hope I'm done for now.
Oh my gosh. But I feel like it's one of those things where it happens to those of us that have to keep sharing, unfortunately. But I wonder with the mold, what specifically did you do to, because I feel like I'm hearing more and more people dealing with mold toxicity.
I mean, listen, half of all homes have some level of water damage. Some people are more sensitive than others. Part of it has to do with genetics. I happen to be very sensitive. And it led to, a chronic cough and fatigue and brain fog, and then set my immune system in this chronic state of inflammation. And so when I had this antibiotic, it just kind of tipped me over and I kind of went into this spiral of inflammation and it was really bad. And I had to literally gut my barn. I live in an old barn, which probably part of the problem. It's like a 120-year-old barn, and had to gut it and get the mold out and redo it. And so it was a journey, but I think it's not that bad for everybody. There's ways to deal with it through, getting rid of the exposure. Number one, that's the number one, two and three thing you have to do. Two is there's binders and antifungals and various ways of detoxifying. Ozone can be helpful. I talk about that for inflammatory stuff. Plasma freesis, another thing I talk about in the book, which is
kind of saw the ozone therapy. It's funny. My husband just did this machine called Hawk ozone therapy.
Yeah.
And you sit in it like
a body.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Does that do the same thing?
It can be very helpful. Like, it's not as obviously potent as going intravenously, but it can definitely help get ozone in your system and help reduce some of the inflammation. And yeah, for sure. That was a big factor for me in getting better.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, because when I saw all the intravenous stuff and there was a rectal one too, I'm like, wait, this isn't like that. I wonder, you know, and also
I didn't include that in the book, but yeah, you can. Ozone saunas. Yeah, for sure.
Got it. You also talk about hyperbaric chambers since we're talking about machines right now.
Yeah.
Hyperbaric chambers have always scared me. When my mom had brain cancer, it was the one thing I was so hesitant on giving her. So I wonder what research you have done on whether it really does spread cancer or not.
I mean, that's a good question. I don't think it does. I mean, cancer typically is, you know, doesn't like too much oxygen. So I think, you know, really the spread of cancer in the hyperbarics is a theoretical concept. I don't know if there's much evidence to show that that's true. I do think that the hyperbaric therapy is very effective for longevity. You can get the data out of Israel. They did experiments where they took older people and they gave them, you know, I think it was 60 sessions over 90 days and a certain, you know, diet depth and a certain protocol. And they were able to extend the telomeres, which is one of the things that goes wrong as we age, these little caps at the end of our chromosomes that become sort of shorter as we age are rather predictive of your age status and longevity. And they're able to actually lengthen telomeres more than any other intervention. They were also able to kill zombie cells. Another one of the hallmarks of aging is telomeres is. And the zombie cells are these kind of cells that don't die. When your cells are done with their thing, they're supposed to die. But these are zombie cells. They don't die. And then they become these sources of chronic inflammation throughout the body. And they just spread this inflammatory kind of soup all over the place, and that causes accelerated aging and more zombie cells. And the hyperbaric oxygen kills zombie cells more than any other treatment. They're called senolytics. So wow. Senescence is aging, and senolytic means to cut aging. So that's why they call it senolytic. But it's a really powerful therapy, and it also helps repair the brain, increase circulation, heal injuries. A lot of athletes use it. It's used for, you know, certain wound healing for stroke victims, brain injuries. It can be extraordinarily powerful.
Oh my God, we have zombies inside of us.
We do. All zombie cells.
Okay.
But we can kill them with the right foods and the right strategies for sure.
So I'm going to ask you an even more direct question. If you had cancer right now, would you experiment with hyperbaric?
I mean, there's a lot of things that I would do first. So it's probably not top of the list. And I think I wouldn't probably, you know, rush to do that. I would focus on the things that we know are effective for cancer, whether it's ketogenic diets, whether it's approaches that include, you know, a combination of conventional and other therapies that are being used for cancer. So I think, you know, cancer therapy is undergoing a real kind of revolution. The clash, slash, burn and poison strategy is kind of archaic. I mean, you still need to do sometimes surgery and chemo and radiation, but I think there are such amazing new options out there for people.
Well, optimizing the immune system is important. That's what I found in helping with my mom. You know, the body's already ravaged by the cancer. Then we give it this other toxin called chemo, and now you're just totally weak. So we would, the second she was done with chemo, rev up her immune system with high dose vitamin C drips and antioxidants and all these things to help her. So since I can't not ask for people who are listening, what are your favorite treatments on this side of the fence for cancer?
Well, I think the best stuff for cancer is to really focus on optimizing your overall health, your mindset, your immune system, your microbiome, your diet. And it's really all the steps that I lay out in the book, which are designed to not just treat cancer, but to prevent heart disease, diabetes, dementia, and cancer. And they both can prevent and even help to be involved in the treatment and reversal of these problems. So I think it's important to realize that we have a lot of tools. I also think they're like vitamin D and the right kind of certain foods can be very helpful. Like mushrooms are amazing for cancer. And so there's a lot of things you can start to eat and include in your diet, getting rid of sugar and starch. That's sort of number one. If you want to look at how to starve the cancer cells, don't feed them sugar and starch.
Yeah, that's what I did with my mom too. I actually put her on the ketogenic diet right when it was kind of first popping.
Yep.
And they kind of laughed at me. And then 3 years in, even the doctors were doing it.
Sure.
And then they were like, you're not going to believe this, but people are actually shrinking their brain tumors and coming in and they're just doing the keto diet. And I go, would you look at that? I talked to you about this 3 years ago and you guys laughed at me. But, you know, I knew, and it was funny. My mom's neurologist, Dr. Black, was like, listen, we don't have a lot of research on it, but there's no harm in trying it. And I think that, you know, it could be helpful. And so we did it. But it was pretty funny.
It is one of those things where really our whole approaches are changing. Doctors are changing their thinking. There's a guy who's a Harvard psychiatrist who's using ketogenic diets to treat schizophrenia and depression, bipolar disease, and many other things. So the bottom line you should hear is that sugar and starch are the big drivers of so many diseases, including cancer, heart disease, diabetes, dementia, even psychiatric diseases. And the treatment is to cut it out. And it's also the key to longevity. Because if you want to live a short, sick life, eat a lot of sugar and starch. If you want to live a long, healthy life, don't do that.
Can your food council figure out how to ban all that horrible food marketing? Because it's so hard.
It's on the list for sure of things to do, for sure.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
The old First Amendment thing, that's the problem. You know, the freedom of speech.
I know.
Restricted. It's unfortunate. I think at least the kids, we need to be thinking about this, at least for kids, because that's when they target them. That's when they get hooked. It's like easy to get customers early and keep for life by targeting little kids.
Yeah, I know. What about, you've talked about on your Instagram and in all of your books about insulin resistance. Can you explain insulin resistance to everyone? And then one of the things that I was so blown away by is that it's something that's going to eventually happen to everyone. And I guess because we're eating sugar and starch, but go ahead.
This is such a big problem, Rhea. I think, you know, recent study came out from Tufts looking at metabolic health and found that 93.2% of Americans are metabolically unhealthy. That means only 6.8% of us are metabolically healthy.
6.8% of us are metabolically healthy. That's crazy. I was like,
it's crazy, right? And when it means to be metabolically healthy, it means you're not having any pre-diabetes or diabetes. If you're metabolically unhealthy, and that's over 93% of us, have some degree of insulin resistance, pre-diabetes, on the way to diabetes. I mean, 75% overweight, 1 out of 2 have pre-diabetes or diabetes in this country already. But if you look, why is it 93%? It's because even people who are thin and aren't overweight, maybe over fat. In other words, they may be skinny fat. They may have the same weight that they were when they were younger, but then the muscle is replaced by fat and then your metabolism is much slower and you're more pre-diabetic even at the same weight. So this is important to realize. You can be thin and, oh, I'm thin, I can eat sugar, it doesn't bother me. Well, it does. It just doesn't bother you on the outside, it bothers you on the inside. And so when we look at what this means to be metabolically healthy, it means you have high blood sugar, high blood pressure, abnormal cholesterol, are overweight, or have had a heart attack or stroke, which, by the way, are all related to this poor metabolic health from eating too much starch and sugar. So what happens is, you know, typically as a species, we may have had 22 teaspoons of sugar a year. We found a little bit of honey somewhere. We get some, you know, some sweet berries or something in the summer. But here we just eat, the average person eats 22 teaspoons a day. And some kids eat 35 teaspoons and maybe average. That means some kids eat a lot more and some adults eat a lot more. And what that does is it just floods our system. And that doesn't even count the starch, which is at least almost another double that. And that actually acts just like sugar in the body. It turns to glucose and that creates enormous downstream consequences of insulin resistance. So bread, potatoes, rice, starchy stuff. Some potatoes are okay, but like, you know, pasta, bread, rice, all that stuff is super refined and drives huge amounts of insulin production in the body in response to trying to keep your sugar low. And then the insulin causes you to store fat in your belly. It causes inflammation in those belly fat cells. It locks the fat inside of your cells so it can't get out and you can't lose weight. It slows your metabolism down so you're already kind of screwed on top of being screwed. And then it makes you more hungry so you want to eat more. And it causes you to lose more muscle, which leads to a more vicious cycle. And then it lowers your hormones. So it lowers sex hormones. That's why men become impotent and have low testosterone and they end up getting man boobs because their testosterone gets turned into estrogen. And so it's really a huge crisis of poor metabolic health and insulin resistance. And you can, you know, your doctor doesn't measure it. That's what's crazy. It's so easy and so inexpensive. It's like $10 for a test, and it's measuring your insulin level. If you measure just blood sugar, you're picking things up way down the line.
Meaning like your A1C.
No, meaning like your fasting blood sugar or your A1C. Okay. So if you measure fasting blood sugar, it could be normal and you could be having hugely high levels of insulin that are causing all these problems that you don't know because your blood sugar is normal. So I think it's important to check fasting insulin, and ideally it should be less than 5, and you could, less than 10 is, you know, probably okay, but not really. And over that, you're really in trouble. And I think we don't test that, and doctors don't look at it, and doctors know how to treat insulin resistance. They don't really understand lifestyle diseases and how to treat them. They, well, we can give you medication. We'll give you metformin. I'm like, well, okay, but that doesn't work as well as eating better and exercising. So why not focus on that? So I think we are in a crisis, and if you look at the phenomenon of aging, it is a phenomenally easy thing to understand that insulin resistance is at the root of so much of the aging process. It is what's underlying heart disease, cancer, dementia, diabetes. Type 3 diabetes is now what they call dementia. Right? So this is a huge problem. And we actually can fix it. It's not that hard. I had a patient I talked about in the book who was type 2 diabetic, on insulin, massively overweight, heart failure, everything. She was off her insulin in 3 days, reversed her diabetes from like extremely poor control, an A1C of like 11 to 5.5. That's like from a sugar of like 300-400 to like normal.
Was she type 1?
Just a couple of months. Type 2. She was
that
on insulin.
That high of an A1C, wow.
Yeah, she was type 2. And she just ate crap, and she ate processed food, and she didn't know better. And it was, you know, she was relatively educated, but she didn't know better. And that led to her just following these habits that were in her family forever and not taking care of herself. And once we taught her what to do, she did it, and it radically changed everything for her. And she reversed her heart failure. Her kidneys were failing. She reversed that. Her liver was failing. She had high blood pressure. She had angina, heart failure. All of it reversed. And you don't see that with traditional medicine. You don't see you reversing heart failure, you reversing diabetes, reversing kidney failure. These are things you have to manage as chronic diseases. And I don't want to manage anything. I want to get rid of it. So really, that's what's exciting
is that anywhere
you are in the spectrum, whether you're like you and I, we're relatively healthy, want to optimize our health, or there's someone with chronic diseases that you want to, you know, reverse them and see if you can, you know, increase your overall vitality, health, and well-being, and get rid of some of the diseases and drugs you're on. This works for all that, all across the spectrum.
So, question: if insulin resistance is such a problem, and the body's having to produce all this insulin for all the junk that we're eating, doesn't that mean that the pancreas just gets so tired, and that's kind of why it shits the bed on us, and we end up with diabetes?
Yeah, but see, the thing is, Maria, you don't have to have diabetes to have all these problems. Diabetes affects, you know, about one in ten. So that's terrible, but it's not the 93%, right? 90% of people don't have diabetes, but 93% have poor metabolic health. So it doesn't mean if you're diabetic or not, you're still seeing all the disease of aging accelerate, all the health consequences of this accelerate. Obviously, if it's diabetes, it's worse. But that's sort of a very late stage phenomena. You want to understand that, you know, this is something you have to get on early, and sort of stay on, because this is the driver of aging. There was a professor of Harvard who was Jorge Plutsky, who was the head of preventive cardiology. Goes, if you could take a group of 100-year-old people and find one thing they all had in common, what would it be? And but the answer is they were insulin sensitive, meaning their bodies didn't need much insulin to keep their blood sugar normal, as opposed to most of us, which have a high level of insulin just to keep the blood sugar normal.
So do I remember this correctly? Didn't you say also that this is a cause of infertility for women?
Oh my God, yes. So we see a lot of infertility. 1 in 7 couples are infertile. And there was actually a book written by some Harvard nutritionist, epidemiologist, the head of the Harvard School of Public Health, Walter Willett, called The Fertility Diet, which was all about the role of sugar in causing infertility and poor metabolic health. And the extreme version of that is PCOS, which affects a lot of women. But even if you don't have that, it can still affect fertility. Also men too, it affects fertility, testosterone levels, sperm quality. So whether you're man or woman, it's really important.
Sounds like why Kevin and I weren't able to get pregnant all those years. I bet. But nobody talks about that. Nobody's ever made that connection. They go and they give the guy the surgery. They pump more hormones into you. And P.S., I was always pre-diabetic. So that could have been a very easy thing for somebody to identify and say, well, you know, instead of saying, let's get you on, oh, you have Hashimoto's, let's get you on a little Synthroid so you can get pregnant. That's what they did.
Yeah.
You actually could have just said, hey, cut the sugar.
Totally. I mean, I have a wall in my office, a baby wall of pictures of all these women who are infertile and their babies when they were told they couldn't get pregnant. So if you understand how to optimize the body and balance your hormones and deal with the disruption that comes from our processed diet and a few other things, it's amazing how many women who are infertile can become fertile, how many couples who are struggling to have babies can have babies.
How long after someone cuts, let's just keep it simple, they cut sugar and starch, gluten, you know, they cut all the bad stuff. How long before you see real change?
Oh, wow. Well, that's a quite amazing. We had this woman, I was telling you, whose body mass index 43, which is huge. Normal is 25 and 30 is considered obese. So 43 is just like, we call it severe obesity. And she was on insulin for 10 years. In 3 days, she was off her insulin totally. And her blood sugars dropped down. Type 2. Right, not type 1. Type 1 is an autoimmune disease. It affects very few people compared to type 2. So 3 days of being on insulin for 10 years, she was able to get off of it using food as medicine. In 3 months, she was completely off all her drugs and medications for everything, including diabetes and the pills, as well as the shots of insulin. So, I mean, 3 days is pretty good. That's one thing about a lot of this. It doesn't take a long time to see real results if you know what to do. It's like, say, well, you know, diet and lifestyle doesn't work. But sure, if I gave you, you know, a milligram of aspirin for your headache, you say, well, aspirin doesn't work. Well, you need 325 or 650 milligrams to get rid of your headache, not 1 milligram. So the dose, so the frequency, the type, all of it matters. And so it's not just about saying eat better and exercise. It's about the specifics that I go into in the book, Young Forever, that guides you on exactly what to do to tune up your biology and your metabolism and to be able to actually live a long, healthy life.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I see a lot of is the bloated. So, well, this is a whole thing, right? I've been talking to people, even doctors. I go, if you have diarrhea consistently, there's a massive issue. And we kind of like are so scared to talk about poop, I think. And I feel like that's one thing that I'm realizing is like a big deal, actually. Your poop is, it matters. So let's talk about poop. And then I want to talk about bloatedness because it's another thing that we've normalized. Oh, I'm just bloated. Yeah. I'm just bloated. And it's not normal.
No. I mean, there's different kinds of bloating, right? People can have fluid retention and feel bloated because they're inflamed. And that just creates interstitial fluid in your tissues. And you get puffy, swollen, and that just, I'm bloated. That's real. And that goes away in a few days of changing your diet and getting off inflammatory foods and eating whole foods. And so the second thing is actual digestive system bloating. And that often is what we call food baby, where you feel like you eat and your stomach blows up and you're uncomfortable, or you have digestive symptoms, diarrhea, constipation. It's typically referred to as irritable bowel syndrome, but that means we don't know what causes it. In fact, we do. It can be overgrowth of bad bugs. Well, we do know it can be often caused by bad bugs growing in the small intestine called SIBO, or overgrowth of yeast in the small intestine or in the gut called SIFO. And it all can be food sensitivities, gluten, dairy. There's a lot of reasons why people have gut issues. But when you actually deal with how to create a healthier garden, which I describe in the book and give you a roadmap on how to optimize your gut health, often those symptoms will all go away. And like that woman I mentioned earlier, she had an irritable bowel. She had reflux for years and years on all the medications. And within a few days, she was better, literally a few days. And within 6 weeks, everything was gone. So the body has this ability to repair. We just got to kind of get out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And SIBO is super. I know Kelsey deals with SIBO as well. What are your kind of like top tips for that?
Well, SIBO is just, it's a very common problem. But, you know, one of the things I talk about in Young Forever in the book is how the microbiome is one of the hallmarks of aging. And that as our microbiome has become more unhealthy, the whole mess of bacteria in our gut, it creates more inflammation. And one of the things it leads to is what we call inflammaging, which is the inflammatory process of our bodies that occurs when we get older. And that affects everything. So there's a lot of things that cause it, obviously the sugar, but also the microbiome. And so you have to learn how to optimize your microbiome. And if you have SIBO, which is bacterial overgrowth, you have to treat it. It means maybe herbs, maybe antibiotics, you may need any fungals, but then you figure out why. Is it because you're...
Do we treat it with wine too, Mark?
Wine, no. Wine will make it worse.
No,
if you
no
drink
cocktails.
Wine, if you have sugar, if you have starch, that all feeds the bad bugs. So you want to starve them, basically, yeah, by not eating all that crap. And the good bugs love lots of colorful phytochemicals, the medicine in foods. They love fiber. They love prebiotic foods, probiotic foods. So you can actually optimize your gut function pretty easily. Sometimes you need medical care if there's a reason why you may need a prescription or something like that to get rid of it. You may need testing to see what's really going on. And if you have certain different kinds of SIBO, there's methane SIBO and hydrogen SIBO. It gets complicated, but the basic idea is you could reset your gut and kind of reconstitute the soil. Let's say you have crappy soil somewhere, you can come in, you can put manure on, you put all the right things in the soil, and you can create a healthy soil. Same thing we need to do in our gut. And it may take a little time, but the body has an ability to do that. And then Young Forever, I talk about how you optimize your microbiome for longevity, which is the same as optimizing it for everything else. So it should
help. Well, I feel like I heard that the stomach lining changes naturally every 24 hours. Is that?
Well, yeah, the epithelial right? lining, yeah, the surface lining, the cells reproduce and turn over. But most of the problems we have such a bad intestinal environment, then we have such bad bugs growing because of the wrong food, or we've eaten so many toxins and chemicals that affects our gut. So when you have that going on, it creates this damage to the gut lining called leaky gut, and then you get inflammation throughout the body. You can get fluid retention, autoimmune diseases, diabetes, dementia, cancer. All of it can be related to heart disease, to these bad bugs in the gut. So it's really an important part of longevity.
But let's get back to the wine. If we heal the gut, can we go back to having a glass? Like, do you drink ever?
I do. But I might have a glass of wine or two every few months. If I go out to a dinner, there's somebody, you know, we're all sharing a bottle of wine, I'll have a little bit. But I almost never do. Hard liquor, again, maybe once a month I'll have a shot of tequila or, you know, go out with friends or something, but really rarely. I think alcohol is increasingly becoming understood to increase the risk of all the age-related diseases. Obviously, it's not good for your brain, and it promotes cancer risk. It actually can obviously affect your blood sugar, affect your microbiome, cause more inflammation. It's a toxin. And I think, you know, if you want to enjoy it occasionally, I'm not opposed to it. It's just knowing what you're doing. Like, you know, if you want to have a cookie occasionally, fine. But it's a recreational drug. It's not a daily staple. And it's certainly not a health promoting substance. And the data is becoming more and more clear about this.
Well, because, you know, we hear, you know, even Dan Buettner was on the show and he's like, you know, in Acaria, they're having their wine and they're fine because
they are.
But they're doing all the things right that we're not doing right.
It's all the other things. It's like, is it the wine or is it the fact that they, you know, there's something called the healthy user effect. The healthy user effect means, you know, for example, this is an example, but they did all these large studies on meat consumption and whether there were any health risks. And it was during a time when everybody thought the meat was bad for you. So the people who ate meat in the studies were more overweight. They ate 800 calories more a day. They ate less fruits and vegetables. They ate more processed food. They didn't exercise. They drank more and they smoked more. The people who didn't eat meat because they thought it was unhealthy exercised more, ate fruits and vegetables, were normal weight, didn't smoke, didn't drink. So was it the meat? Or was it the other factors? Yeah. Right? So the same thing happened with women's hormones. I mean, the nurse's health study, the women's health study, nurse's health study showed that women who took hormones had less heart disease, dementia, cancer, everything. And it wasn't because
they were taking hormones.
They were taking Premarin and other things. But this is a big population study looking at what happens in a population when women were taking hormones back in the, you know, 70s and 80s and so forth. And they found that the risks were down for all these diseases. But then they said, well, this isn't actually a cause and effect study. It's an observational study. We can look for correlations, but not causation. So let's do a randomized controlled trial. It was a Women's Health Initiative, $1 billion study, over 160,000 women. And they randomized them to no hormones or hormones. And they had to stop the study because women who were getting the hormones were dying left and right and getting cancer and stroke and heart disease. So it wasn't the hormones that were protecting these women in the first study. It was their overall lifestyle, because they went to the doctor. They were more attentive to their health. That's why they got prescribed hormones, because they went to the doctor. So I think it's really very important to understand that you have to look carefully at the data and where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. And the alcohol data, you know, were really around some of these sort of population-based things where people had healthier lifestyles, but it's not a cause and effect. Drinking wine isn't equal longevity. It's the opposite.
Well, our lives in America are very different than they are in Ikaria. So that is a big deal. True.
And I was in Ikaria this last summer and I drank the wine and I went and saw how they made the wine. And the wine was made from these special grapes that are growing in very harsh conditions and have, you know, profound levels of phytochemicals that are protective. They're also not processed with sulfites. They're not preserved. They go bad. They had the guy who had them, like, you know, in these big vats, in these clay pots underneath the ground, you know, it was really quite interesting to see what he did. And it was these old methods that have been used for thousands of years. So, I mean, in that case, you know, who knows, maybe a little bit is fine, but not the kind of stuff we're typically drinking.
Yeah. I also have to ask you, by the way, as we were talking about meat, I remember something else I read in this book, that if you eat too much red meat, it raises your glucose.
I don't think I said that in the book, but what happens is if you are overdosing on protein, it can actually turn into sugar. Or if your body is getting sugar, if you're actually eating a lot of not eating enough calories, right? If you're starving, your body will turn protein into sugar. So the body can actually make sugar out of protein that you eat. But that's not really what happens, right? So you should be eating enough protein in the right amount so that you don't want to overdose, but you don't want to underdose. And protein is really important as we get older to build muscle. Because the most important thing that we can do as we get older is make sure we eat and exercise in a way that optimizes our muscle mass, which means low sugar, more protein, and then resistance training. And that's really key to building muscle and maintaining muscle, because without muscle, we can't function. Without our muscle, we become frail and decrepit and end up in nursing homes. It's not because we have an illness, it's because we can't tie our shoes or, you know, walk without a walker, right? And with these people, you know, in Ikaria and in Sardinia, where I was, they didn't have walkers. they were running around the mountains and they were like 90 years old. I'm like, well, okay, I can't keep up with you. Slow down.
My 98-year-old grandmother would carry water jugs that were as tall as her from the village fountain to our house where we were. How did you heal your gastritis specifically?
Asking for a friend. Well, I think it's a combination of things. I really work on the food part and understand that a lot of the restoration of microbiome has to do with make sure you're eating a lot of polyphenols, these colorful plant compounds that the bacteria love, lots of pre and probiotic fibers. But I also, you know, used other things that could help me that were a little bit more aggressive, that probably are not accessible to most people right now, but things like ozone and exosomes and peptides that really helped reset my gut. And now I'm perfect. So it was quite amazing to be, you know, not responding to any treatments, to be in bed for 5 months, to be having 20 bloody balance a day, and then being perfectly normal, which is from a medical perspective, it's not possible.
That's what I was just going to say. Right? They tell you that this is unhealable. I'm like, wait, everything's healable.
Well, I think if you know what to do, right? If I said, well, I want to get to the moon, you're like, you're fucking nutcase. Because if it's like, 1901, you're like, well, I want to get to the moon. But now we know how to get to the moon. Well, okay, we can get to the moon. You know, it's complicated. We know how to do it. It's like, so I think, you're nuts if you have a perspective that it's not possible. But if you understand how to get from here to there, which is the roadmap of functional medicine and the roadmap that I use in Young Forever in the book to help people understand how to optimize their health for a long and healthy life, then it's not hard. It's just following the instruction manual for your body. That's what Young Forever is. It's like the owner's manual. How many of you got an owner's manual when you were born? Probably not too many. How does your body work? How do you optimize it? What goes wrong? How do you tweak it? If your car has low tires, you don't put air in. If the car is low in gas, you put gas in. If it's low in oil, you put oil in. You kind of know more about what to do about maintaining your car and the tune-up you need and spark plug. Well, we need the same thing for your body. Uh-huh. It's just we don't ever learn how to do that.
I say it all the time. I'm like, we grow up from the time we're born. It's like, grow up, get good grades, achieve, win, go to a great school, make a lot of money out of college, get married, have kids, health.
Yeah, right, right.
Never even in the equation. I'm going to ask you a couple quick questions before we go. Stevia, you said artificial sweeteners are bad. Is stevia part of that group?
Listen, I think that, you know, it's interesting. As you start to look at, you know, telling people to reduce sugar and starch, immediately they start going, well, can I have this? Can I have stevia? What about, you know, NutraSweet? What about sucralose? What about sugar alcohols? What about monk fruit? What about this? What about stevia? And I think when I hear that question, immediately I realize they have an addiction, that they are biologically addicted to sugar and starch, and that their brain is immediately trying to find ways around it. And so that's not bad. It means something wrong with you. It just means you need to recognize that as, oh, wow, why am I thinking that way? Is that because I'm hooked? And maybe I should see what happens if I get unhooked. And the reality is within, you know, 2 to 3 days, you stop wanting sugar. You literally, if you get your gut sorted, which if you have a ton of yeast, you might want sugar. But if you get your gut sorted and you reset your diet, and I wrote a whole book about how to detox from sugar called the 10-day detox diet, which I encourage people to use if they want to reset their metabolism. In 10 days, you won't believe the changes that can happen. And it's very similar to what I have in the book, Young Forever, but because what works, works. But I think that it's important to kind of not, you know, kind of sort of focus on all these other kinds of sugar. If you want to have a little sugar once in a while, fine. Stevia is probably the most benign. Monk fruit and stevia are probably the most benign, but it still is very stimulating to your brain. And you have, you know, sweet receptors on your tongue. It communicates with the nerves in your tongue, and that those go to your brain. And you know, it sets up a whole cycle of craving for sugar. So I encourage people to try to not do that. Occasionally, if you like it, fine. But it's really, you know, I take people in this, you know, week-long retreat, and we get them off sugar, and they have zero sugar, super low starch, and, you know, really good quality fats and protein, lots of veggies. And then, like, the last day, we give them like a chia seed pudding that's sweetened with like coconut milk with no actual sugar and some berries, and they're like, oh my god, this is like the sweetest thing ever. This is like super. It feels like candy, right? Yeah. But if you're drinking cola and you eat a blueberry, it feels like cardboard, right?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's funny because I remember, I think it was around the holidays, I saw your chocolate mousse pudding dessert with the avocado.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I have to try this. So I adjusted it. I even removed the agave.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm doing zero sugar. And yeah, I just did the coconut cream, the avocado, and the cacao. And it was delicious.
Yeah, it's good.
And right? Oh my God, it's amazing. And I was like, I can have a dessert. This is so exciting. And I don't even care about desserts. I quit desserts 3 years ago. So I've really gotten past that. But now where my diet's really gotten so into just protein and vegetables, you know, once in a while, you want to feel like you had a little something interesting. So I was like, ooh, this is good.
Yeah, for sure.
We've also recently come across the spice issue, and you talk about spices in the supermarket in here. Where should people get good quality spices that are not toxined? That's not a word, but I just created it.
That are not toxic. Well, I think, you know,
toxin.
Even most stores like Whole Foods and so forth, I think you want to make sure you get the organic ones, just because of the way they can sometimes grow them with a lot of toxins and pesticides. So you may be doing good by eating spices, but then if they're full of pesticides, it's probably not a good idea.
Yeah. So they say organic on the spices. I've never looked until recently. I've heard about this.
They have organic spices for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have a favorite organic green tea?
Do I have a favorite organic green tea? There's so many good brands out there now. I'm blanking on the brands, but I don't have a brand in mind, but I just go to the store and
I look. Your next Instagram post.
There you go. What brand? I mean, just people are very, you know, very good out there making all kinds of great products that are healthy and that are, you know, moving things down the road in a good way. So,
well, friends, the book is called Young Forever. I loved it. I cannot recommend it enough. I have so many notes in here, and I'm photocopying so many. I'm photocopying your shake recipe or smoothie recipe, and all of the phytonutrients that we need to be eating, right? Because we can also get so stuck in our habits of the same foods all the time. We need to be incorporating all these different things.
For sure. You want to have absolute variety. It's so key.
So and I'm creating my own little thing.
Like there's a whole chart of all the different fruits and vegetables and mushrooms and things and what the molecules are in them. What are the medicines in them? What do they do? And so you can start to kind of
some of them are like anti-cancer.
Yeah.
You wrote that all in specifically, which was great.
Yeah. Great.
Maria, can I ask one question?
All right. Yeah.
Dr. Hyman, what are, if you were to tell us that like we need to take 2 to 3 supplements, I feel like supplements are so like thrown in our faces and like it's so overwhelming. Are there like a handful that you're like, we all must be taking them, like a probiotic or a D? Like, what would you say?
Yeah, I think, you know, I talk a lot about supplements, Young Forever, one of the foundational ones and one of the sort of value add ones. So the foundational ones, everybody needs is vitamin D, a fish oil, a good multi, and usually people need magnesium. Those are kind of non-negotiables. And then there's all the fun stuff you can explore, like NMN and quercetin and green tea extract pills and broccoli extract pills and curcumin from turmeric, which are very inflammatory that help in longevity. Fisetin, which is a strawberry extract that kills all the zombie cells. So there's all kinds of fun stuff to do. Urolithin A, which comes from pomegranate that has powerful effects on rejuvenating your mitochondria. And I talk about what those are if people want to be more adventurous in the book or they have a little extra they want to spend on that. But I think for most people, for $1 a day, you can get your basic needs met with a good multi, fish oil, and vitamin D. And that'll take care of 90% of what you need.
Very cool.
So helpful. Thank you.
All right. A lot of amazing info on how to reverse our ailments. I know that I, like I said, have dog-eared this entire book and have so many things that I'm going to implement. That's what I love about this show is we get new tools. new tools?
Yeah, new tools.
But new tools every day. And so many helpful tips, but also just kind of the overall thought of no matter how deep you are, you can climb out. And that's what really spoke to me last night when I was reading the book and then also just chatting with him throughout. And he does spell everything out in this book. And anything that I had a question on, I got in, which I'm really happy about, especially like the hyperbaric stuff, because I feel like a lot of people who are dealing with cancer are always questioning whether that's good or not. But you notice at the end, he said, I would start with other things first.
Definitely. I had never even heard, like, I know hyperbaric, but I never even heard that there was controversy around that. So that was really interesting to me. And the ozone stuff, I used to do ozone. I have like a little ozone machine. So I'm going to start doing that again.
No way.
Yeah. I used to, there was a guy I saw in Seattle when I had my SIBO was really bad. And he had me sit in like this egg that was like an ozone egg. And yeah. And then he had me get this little machine. So I was like, I got to start doing that again.
Interesting. Yeah. Queen, may I add, you look super cute today.
Thank you. I love your
hair. Your skin's glowing. Your little fuzzy sweater. It's all working.
Thank you. It was funny because I had my hair down and then I was like, no, I feel like this kind of is a cute little updo with the sweater. So thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, that was fun. I agree, Maria. I think it's always really nice to hear from these experts who he was saying he had all these issues just 5 years ago and he was able to come out of it. So I love hearing that from them. I think it just helps a lot. It helps me feel more, it's like, it's just relatable. I'm like, oh, okay. Yep. He can do it. We can do it.
We can do it. Queen, we can do it for sure. And you can do it, Heal Squad, as well. We'll put links to everything in the summary of this episode. In the meantime, if you have not checked out Monday Motivations and Intentions, we do like a 5 to 10 minute little podcast to start your week off right. With something that, you know, will hopefully inspire you. Some life advice, some mantras, very quick, very digestible. Start your Monday off right, start your week off right. Monday Motivations and Intentions on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. In the meantime, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.
This podcast and all related content published or distributed by or on behalf of Maria Menounos or MariaMenounos.com is for informational purposes only and may include information that is general in nature and that is not specific to you. Any information or opinions expressed or contained herein are not intended to serve as or replace medical advice, nor to diagnose, prescribe, or treat any disease, condition, illness, or injury, and you should consult the healthcare professional of your choice regarding all matters concerning your health, including before beginning any exercise, weight loss, or healthcare program. If you have or suspect you may have a healthcare emergency, please contact a qualified healthcare professional for treatment. Any information or opinions provided by a guest expert or host featured within website or on company's podcast are their own, not those of Maria Menounos or the company. Accordingly, Maria Menounos and the company cannot be responsible for any results or consequences or actions you may take based on information or opinions.